Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome to 4-H4U, the podcast where we dig deep into the roots of leadership, learning, and life skills through the lens of 4-H. I'm your host, Greg Allen, and today we're celebrating one of the biggest weeks of the year, National 4-H Week. But first, a fun fact. Here's your 4-H fun fact. National 4-H Week began as part of a broader effort to unify and promote 4-H programming nationwide. While 4-H itself dates back to the early 1900s, National 4-H Week officially emerged in the 1940s as the U.S. Department of Agriculture and State Extension Systems sought to increase visibility and participation in youth programs, especially during and after World War II, when youth development and civic responsibility were national priorities. And that's today's fun fact. So as of this recording, National 4-H Week was last week, but we didn't want to miss the opportunity to highlight this very important week for 4-H. National 4-H Week is an annual celebration held during the first full week of October across the United States to recognize and promote the 4-H Youth Development Program. It's a time for current members, alumni, volunteers, and supporters to share the impact of 4-H in their communities and to encourage new youth to get involved. And this is the reason why National 4-H Week matters. Because it's more than just a celebration. It's a platform. It gives youth a chance to tell their story, to amplify their voices, and to showcase the diversity and depth of 4-H programs across rural, urban, and suburban communities alike. It's also a valuable recruiting moment, helping others learn about the opportunities that 4-H offers. That's why I thought it only fitting to invite a few state 4-H ambassadors to talk more about it. Welcome Morgan Keith, Annie Ackerman, and Izzy Gibson. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's just start, and we'll just go down the line here, starting with Morgan. Morgan, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Go.
So my name is Morgan Keith. I am from Johnson County. I am a 9-year 4-H member. I show swine and goats in 4-H. I've actually shown goats for 9 years, and I just started showing swine this year, and it's so fun. I love it so much. I also do a lot of different static projects. I've done everything from photography to baking. So my parents have been leaders for 9 years, so 4-H just really runs in my family. So it's a big part of my life.
What's your favorite swine to show?
Well, this year I had a Berkshire and a Yorkshire, and I just loved them so much. I can't really choose a favorite breed, but I did really love my York Gelt a lot.
I used to be with Walton Webcasting, and I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they, you know, webcast all of the livestock shows and whatnot, even goats. So
yeah.
I'm sure we've probably seen you on waltonwebcasting.com at one point or another. So, all right, what about you, Annie?
Yeah, so my name is Annie Ackerman, and I'm an 8-year 4-H'er from Davies County. I do a lot of projects. Almost all of them are static projects, except for my dog. And other than that, 4-H has just been a part of my life for as long as I remember. I have a lot of older siblings who were super involved, so it was just kind of natural for me to be involved as well.
Fun. And Izzy?
So I'm Izzy Gibson. I'm from Putnam County, and I show rabbits. I do baking, photography, and writing. I grew up in the city originally, so I did not grow up in a 4-H environment until I moved out to where I am now.
Very nice. Okay. Ladies, I'm sure as you know, last week was National 4-H Week, and I don't know if you all were involved in any celebratory events that were going on. But if you were, can you tell us what you did get involved in with and what National 4-H Week means to you? And we'll start with you, Morgan.
So I didn't do anything really big and celebratory, but if you follow the Indiana State 4-H Ambassadors Instagram, we did do a big social media push and we did different things for different days. So it was like throwbacks. So if you want to go look at some like baby pictures of us, that's a good post to go look at. So we did a big social media push. That was about all I did for National 4-H Week. But National 4-H Week does mean a lot to me because it is an organization that's been a part of my life for as long as I can remember, basically. And it's just a week to celebrate and kind of push awareness of it. I think 4-H is a really, really, really good organization for younger kids and even young adults to get involved in. I always say that I wouldn't have half the knowledge I have if I didn't join 4-H. 4-H taught me a lot that you can't really learn out of a school book. So I think it's a good week to kind of push awareness, spread awareness to those younger people who don't really know much about 4-H and maybe encourage them to get involved.
Annie?
Yeah, so kind of like Morgan said, I didn't really do a lot for 4-H, National 4-H Week, but we did do a big social media push for our Indiana State 4-H Ambassador page on Instagram, so that was super fun. And, I mean, 4-H Week, it's just like a big culmination of everything. You get to look through so many pictures of the projects you've done for our social media push, and it really just means a lot because, like Morgan said, 4-H has been such a huge part of my life. So getting to celebrate that, just, it's really special.
So you kind of got to go through the highlight reel a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
So for our social media push, on different days, we did different things. Like Wednesday was throwback day, and that one I really liked because I got to find baby pictures of me and 4-H. So just getting to look at those different pictures was great.
What about like old projects? Do you like, does your parents like keep that stuff? Like here's the ashtray you made for us in pottery, like back when you were five.
Yeah, we have, having four older siblings who are all in 4-H, our house is filled with 4-H projects. We have posters everywhere and we have a million projects.
Nice. What about you, Izzy?
So once again, I didn't do much for 4-H week except for the social media push. But I do feel like 4-H Week is a very important week because I know for me personally, I wouldn't be where I am now without 4-H. It definitely made an impact. So I feel like it's really important to me that more people get to learn about it and we outreach more.
Traditionally, it's also a week where you can recruit, you know, new members in like you all said, to raise awareness for it. Have you seen in past 4-H weeks an increase in people getting involved with 4-H?
You know, I can't really say anything for the past, but I was talking to one of my county educators recently, and we were doing our 4-H Achievement Night where we get recognized for all of our projects, and I was talking to her, and it was during 4-H week, and she said that this year, we have more 4-H'ers in Daviess County than we have in a long time.
That's awesome. Have you other two heard anything similar?
So my county, we have 4-H like ambassadors for our county that just serve Johnson County. We don't really do our big push during National 4-H Week. We do have a 4-H week called Johnson County 4-H Week, which is just like all about Johnson County 4-H. And our ambassadors go around to all the schools in our county, which there's a lot in our county. And we talk to grades 3 to 5 about 4-H and like what it is in our county. And when we do that, we do see a big increase in our enrollment.
Nice. And Izzy, what about your county?
My county, we have our awards night in November. So we don't really do like a 4-H enrollment like push until November time, but around that time is when we start to see more people get involved in it. We also go around, kind of like how Morgan said, we go around from school to school, not really like certain kids, but just like the junior leaders club. Some of them go from school to school. It just kind of depends on the year, but we do normally see rises in 4-H enrollment.
Nice. Okay, Annie, we were talking earlier about memories and going through old things and poring over old pictures and looking at older projects and going, I remember that. I want each one of you to think about a favorite memory from your 4-H career and kind of go down that path. And I'm not going to pick on Morgan to go first. I'm going to actually ask for volunteers. Anybody got one's like, oh, I know the one right here. I knew you'd have to think about it.
You know, I think you go, Morgan. You go.
Okay. so going for 9 years, I get this question a lot. Like, what's your 4-H memory? And a lot of people, like, are expecting, like, oh, I won, like, this banner. Like, those are exciting, but I'm going to be so honest. They sit in a tote under my bed, and I rarely ever get them out to look at them. So, like, that's not really, like, my highest, like, I, like, really loved this. I'd say my favorite 4-H memory is just, like, all the fun I've had with my friends at the fair. When I first started 4-H, I was like, oh, I don't know anybody. I'm, like, really shy, a little third grader, you know, and I just kind of stuck to, like, me, my sister, and my family. And then in, like, fifth grade, I started to branch out, and I have made friendships that still are, like, great friendships to this day. And I remember one fair. It was the fair that, like, the tortilla slap challenge was a really big thing on, like, social media. For, like,
well, hold on. For, like, did you say tortilla slap challenge?
You did. So, like, basically one person, like, fill their mouth with water, and then, like, the other person, like, them with a tortilla, and then it was, like, until you, like, laughed so hard.
Because why not? Why wouldn't you slap somebody with a tortilla? Let me ask you this question. Is there any video evidence of this happening at all whatsoever?
Yes. We look at these videos all the time. Like, these.
Please, like, send those to me. Please send those to me. I'll make sure they get out there.
So, basically, we have a taco truck that's right by the goat barn. And we were like, we should go ask for tortillas to see if we can buy other with them, you know? So, like, we go up, and the guy is like, we're like, can we have tortillas so we can, like, slap each other with them? And he's like, yes. And he's like, kind of chuckling, and we're, like, hysterically laughing because we obviously think we're so funny. And he was like, do you want them warmed up? And we're like, no, we're going to slap each other across the face. Don't want them to be hot. And he was like, okay. And he gave us them. And there's, like, so many videos of it. And we would just, like, slap each other with them. And then, like, we were, like, running around the barn. It was so funny. And it was great. It was a great memory.
All right. So just so you know, I'm going to put these videos in post, so please make sure you send those to me. We got to get those on the podcast. All right, Annie, what about you? Slapping anybody across the face with a tortilla?
No, mine is not slapping people with tortillas, unfortunately. I think my favorite 4-H memory is getting to be a camp counselor at 4-H camp for the past 2 years. It's just a lot of fun. A lot of crazy things happen. I personally teach a dance class for it, so it's a lot of fun doing that and getting to meet all of these crazy kids from throughout Indiana.
Is it salsa? Tap?
No. My personal favorite is doing the worm. I'm very good at that, so the kids really like if I do that at the dance class.
And let me ask, is there any video evidence of this?
There is, yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, you got to send that to me, too.
I do have a video. I will.
Yes. Awesome. Okay, Izzy, anything embarrassing that you're doing that we can get on video?
Not really. My favorite 4-H memories are honestly nothing crazy, but it's definitely things that stick out to me is my late nights in the barn. It's something that I really enjoy, especially when I'm in the rabbit barn and I'm trying to get my rabbit ready for show, but he keeps jumping off the table and won't sit still, which is always fun, but it's fine. Or the nights when I'm helping my friends wash her goats in the dark at 11:30. That's always the best part. But it's definitely interesting, but late nights in the barns are definitely my favorite thing to do.
So is 11:30 generally a good time to wash a goat?
Probably not, especially when you're outside in the dark.
We found the perfect time to wash a goat. Turns out it's 11:30.
Hey, all right, ladies. As long as it's done.
Yeah, as long as it gets done. Switching gears here a little bit. been talking about the fun aspects of being a 4-H ambassador. Aside from that, what does being an Indiana State 4-H ambassador mean to you personally, Morgan?
So being an Indiana State 4-H ambassador means a lot to me. 4-H is one of my biggest passions. I live and breathe 4-H. And it's given me a lot, and I really enjoy being able to give back to an organization that's given so much to me. I didn't really know much about the state ambassador role until I really jumped into it, and I jumped into it whenever we went on a retreat in at the end of July, 1st of August, and I came home, and I was, like, talking to my mom. I was like, I love this so much. It's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy being able to get more out of 4-H, because one of the things I enjoy most about 4-H is your 4-H experience is what you make it. You can go as far into it as you want, or you can go as little into it as you want. It's really up to you. I've just chosen to go as far as I can with it, and I really enjoy that that's what I'm getting out of it, and I'm helping others and kind of teaching them about 4-H as I do it.
I love it. Annie?
Yeah, I mean, it really means everything to me. I remember a year ago, my educator was like, listen, Annie, there's this thing called a state ambassador, and I think you really need to apply. And immediately I was like, yes, that's something I definitely want to do. So now that I've jumped into that role, I've really just loved being able to meet all these new people, including Morgan and Izzy and the rest of our ambassadors. And it's really just such an amazing experience getting to share about something I love so much.
Would you say that you were so excited about becoming a 4-H ambassador that you instantly did the worm?
I was pretty excited. I didn't do the worm that time, but I was really excited.
Okay. And what about you, Izzy?
Being a 4-H ambassador definitely means a lot to me. I actually had applied a year before and didn't get it. So the past year before I applied, I did every single thing I could possibly do 4-H wise so that I could put it on my application so I could make sure that I would get it and get something that I really wanted. Because I, at a 4-H camp that I went to, the ambassadors would go on the stage and they would talk to us about like what they do. And I just thought it was so cool and I really wanted it. So I tried to work as hard as I possibly could to get it.
That's it. That's what I want right there. Awesome. We're talking with State 4-H Ambassadors Morgan, Annie, and Izzy, and we got to take a short break, but coming up, I want to see how these three balance the fun and responsibility of being a leader in 4-H, so stay tuned.
The average American reaches for their mobile phone about 350 times a day. For Indiana farmers, that number is probably higher, as the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app keeps them updated on the latest markets, weather, and farm news information. If you haven't downloaded this free app, you're missing out on a powerful and portable resource. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app can be downloaded at the Apple Store and Google Play, and at HoosierAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Welcome back to 4-H for You, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today Presents, your Purdue Extension podcast network. I'm talking today with three state 4-H ambassadors, Morgan, Annie, and Izzy. Thanks for joining me, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue on with our questions. I feel like this is a job interview. I hope you guys aren't feeling the same way. You're doing a great job answering these questions, by the way. How has 4-H shaped you as a leader over the years? We'll start with Izzy this time. We'll work backwards.
Okay, so as I said earlier, I lived in the city up until 4 years ago. So when I was there, I was a very shy person. I didn't want to talk to people. I was very keep to myself. But when I joined 4-H, I slowly realized that I needed to outreach more and get more out of my comfort zone. So honestly, 4-H has helped me so much to grow as who I am. Like, if you would have seen me 4 years ago, I would not be talking right now. Like, it's insane to me how much 4-H has helped me grow as a person and helped me become a better leader.
Okay, what about Annie?
I think 4-H has shaped me as a leader because thinking back, I remember being a teeny tiny little 4-H'er and looking up to everyone in my 4-H club and being like, I want to be just like them one day. So it's really shaped me to recognize that there are always little eyes watching you. So it's so important how you act to be a good role model for those little people.
And I would say at 5'2", you probably are still looking up to those people. In a different way.
Yeah, for sure.
And Morgan, what about you?
So I'm a twin, so I have a twin sister. So, like, he is always kind of, up until whenever I started 4-H, was, like, always, like, the comfort. You know, like, we just stuck with each other. We only talked to each other. Even at, like, our mini 4-H events, we were, like, always with each other. And, like, when we got into kindergarten, my mom, like, was like, I'm going to put you guys in separate classes because, like, you guys need to branch out. And I'd say we made friends in kindergarten, but, like, when we saw each other at recess, it was, like, forget those friends, like, let's go play. So, like, when we started junior leaders, it was kind of the same way. I was in eighth grade, she was in eighth grade, obviously, we're twins. And we would still just stick to each other. And it was the officer election meeting, someone had came up to me, like, one of my biggest role models, actually, came up to me and is like, I think you should run for president. And I was like, are you crazy? And then I kind of like sat on that, like as they were talking through like what all the roles are. And I was like, you know what, maybe like someone who I really look up to thinks I'm capable of this, like I'm going to try it. So I did. And it grew my public speaking a lot, obviously. But it also just grew my awareness of like 4-H and being a leader. I don't like it just like it was really weird to me because it was like, I was so shy and I didn't want to talk to anyone. And it went from that to like, I just want to know everyone's names that are in this room. So it really grew me in that way. And I could say, like Annie said, the younger members, there's a sign in the goat barn at our fair that's like, someone in this barn is watching and wants to be just like you one day. And then it's like, you owe it to them to be the best you can possibly be. That sign, I read it every year and I'm just like, really like, I really puts things in perspective for me. Our county does a peewee program. So like our mini 4-H'ers can either show sheep or pigs, and then our goat club does a like peewee goat showmanship. And I have, I like to call them basically my little show team. Every Tuesday they come and show goats and they love it. And I love it a lot because it's teaching a lot about my passion. But I also look at it and like I'll do something for the show ring and some of them will come watch me on Monday when I show and they'll do the same thing that I was doing. And it really does put things in perspective that someone is always watching you and someone wants to be just like you. And sometimes that's like, oh, that's really scary. Like I'm like living for the first time too. But at the same time, it really does push me to be a better person. I really enjoy that.
That's awesome. And each one of you talked about, you know, kind of coming up in 4-H and, you know, when I was younger, when we were younger. So let's turn that around. What advice would you give to younger members that are just starting out? Maybe some advice that was given to you when you were younger. We'll start with Izzy.
Sorry. I feel like advice that I would definitely give to younger 4-H members is don't be scared to do things. Because I know when I first started, like especially my very first year, I was so terrified to run for office in my clubs to talk to new people. But I realized that it's so much easier to just do it instead of not doing it and regretting it later. That's something that I've definitely learned over the years is that if you want to do something and you even think about wanting to do it, just do it. Because if you don't, you might regret it later when you don't have the chance.
Good advice. Annie?
I would honestly say just to try everything because you never know what's going to stick, what projects you're going to like. I have taken so many projects over the years, and some of them have really surprised me that I actually enjoyed it. So I would just tell them to take every opportunity and try everything.
And Morgan?
I would say never say never. There was like things that in 4-H I like was like I'll never show pigs. I wanted to show pigs, but I was like I don't know that my dad would be up for that. here's a little bit of words of wisdom. If you keep begging, your dad will eventually say yes. That's what I learned. I never stopped about it. Or I was like, oh, I'll never be, like, I never thought I would get this. When I applied, I was like, oh, I won't get this. This will not happen. And here I am talking to you today as an Indiana State 4-H ambassador. So if you really want something, you'll definitely get it if you work for it and you try for it. So never say never.
And as a father of three daughters, I can attest to that yes, if you press hard enough and bat those eyelashes, dads have a hard time saying no to their little girls. Okay, so as we wrap things up today, and I said we were going to get to this before we went to the break, but how do you balance the fun side of 4-H, the slapping each other in the face with tortillas and doing the worm, and how do you balance all that and then the responsibility part of it that it teaches? And we'll start with Izzy again.
I feel like the balance is definitely something you have to learn how to do, because it's definitely not easy at first, especially if you start out with 4-H just for fun and not like to take it as like a, like something, I guess, like not take it seriously, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's definitely something you have to learn, because I know when I first started, I started because my friends did it. So I was just there to hang out with my friends, not really to jump into it. So I feel like you just have to know when it's time to hang out with people and have fun and when it's time to sit down and be serious. But I've also learned in 4-H that during those serious moments, if you enjoy it enough, you're still having fun.
Izzy or Annie?
Yeah, so Izzy talked about learning how to balance it, and I think I'm still learning. I take 20-something projects every year, and I generally find myself the week before we have to turn them in, staying up till 4 a.m. and just having to finish them that way. So it's definitely a hard thing to learn because, you know, it's summertime. You want to hang out with your friends. You want to go to the pool and have fun. But you really have to remember that this is such an important thing to do. Learning the responsibility and the hard work, it's just such an important thing to learn. And yeah. I think that's just a great thing about 4-H.
And Morgan?
For me, I think everything I do in 4-H is fun to me. Like, I like hanging out with my pigs, I did that for fun. Like, they were like a light to me. But, like, when it comes to, like, business and, like, even, like, serving as an officer for my clubs and stuff, it is, like, oh, like, this is, like, a boring session. But in those times, you really learn a lot about 4-H, and then you also learn about a lot about leadership. Like, from a member perspective, you're watching people lead, and you're, like, taking notes, and then you eventually become a leader. So I think the best way I balanced it whenever I was a member and even as a member now is, like, what am I going to gain from this? And there's a lot to gain long term. So it's kind of just like a motivation of I will gain from this, and it will really benefit me in the future to kind of sit down and do this now.
Awesome. Morgan, Annie, Izzy, final question, and any one of you or all of you at the same time in unison can answer this question, but how can people connect with the 4-H ambassadors?
So we have an Instagram account, Indiana State 4-H Ambassadors. You can follow us on there. I think that's the only account we have because it's more for like the younger generations. But even the older generations can follow along with us. We try to stay pretty active on there. We also, you can just follow Indiana 4-H on Facebook, Instagram. You'll see some updates about Indiana 4-H as a whole.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining me today on 4-H for You.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap on this special National 4-H Week edition of 4-H for You. A big thank you to our guests for sharing their stories and to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Whether you're wearing green, leading a project, or cheering from the sidelines, you are part of something bigger. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your 4-H family. And until next time, keep your head, heart, hands, and health in the game. And remember, in 4-H, we don't just grow leaders, we grow people who lead with purpose. This has been 4-H4U, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today Presents, your Purdue Extension Podcast Network. I'm Greg Allen.